Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, we are back at Fitfluential Radio. I'm coming to you live from Austin, Texas, on one of the first cold days of the season. I actually turned my heat on, and I have Jenny Meyer with me again on our series about mental health, the most important aspect of fitness, in my opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. Jenny, welcome back. Are you ready to go?
I am. Thanks so much for having me.
And I might as well ask, because I know I was commenting on your Instagram story the other day and I saw that you had snow. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, snow. Because I turned into that person that moved from Chicago to Austin who I'm just used to every single day, probably 90% of the year, sunny and in the 80s or 90s. And I don't say that to be mean. It's really weird for me. It's been a weird thing to get used to the holidays and Halloween and fall when it's like the season doesn't change here. And then it very abruptly goes into a little bit of winter, just a little bit. And then it goes back to summer. So it's been an adjustment for me, but what's your weather like right now?
Yeah, it's really cold. Today is about like 30 degrees. And it's not really common that we get snow this early, but we have probably about like, I would say nine inches of snow out there. So which is typically it's after Thanksgiving. So this is a weird year and it's going to be a long winter. So yeah. Not looking forward to it.
I'm going to come visit.
You should do it.
I'll come visit and babysit your kids and you and the man can go on a vacation or something and I can just experience snow and then come back. Because that's like also the weird thing about Chicago. It seems like the past couple of years, it hasn't been a lot of snow. It's just cold and angry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little different when you have winter with the snow. That's just my opinion. But let's dive right in. We are talking about, again, the continuation of mental health. I feel so strongly about this series. In fact, I told you before we started recording today that as I've continued to interview other guests, this whole topic keeps coming up. In fact, earlier today, I talked to Chris Freitag and we brought up the whole subject of that, you know, what she said was that the number one thing she teaches clients when they come to her in person or her online programs is dealing with the mindset first. And then she moves into meals and then she moves into, I think, activity. But we talked about the importance of everything you got to deal with in your mind, that success is going to be in your mind. It's not about whether you do this program or that program. It's going to be in your mind. And today we're talking about a topic that I think is hitting home more with me, and mm-hmm. I've brought it up on several different interviews, and that's self-sabotaging. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a lot of people that when they hear that, they either have no idea what we mean, mm-hmm. or they hear it and they're like, well, that's stupid. Why? Nobody would ever self-sabotage. Nobody would ever do that on purpose. But the key is you don't do it on purpose. It's typically, in my opinion, it's unconscious. You have to realize it about yourself. So Jenny, I'm going to let you as the expert and this, the person that has the, who's studied on this, mm-hmm. how would you describe to somebody, you know, what is self-sabotage and is it something we consciously do?
Yeah. The best way to describe it is when you are self-sabotaging, when a behavior starts to create problems and interfere with your overall goals, so your long-term goals. And the most common ways to self-sabotage are procrastination, self-medication, comfort eating, and I think that's where we're going to kind of dive into today is more of the comfort eating. But these acts, they seem helpful in the moment, but it's ultimately like it is our not really unconscious, subconscious mind that does it. And it comes at us like this full force. So I totally agree with you. You don't realize you are doing it. You wouldn't do it on purpose, but it comes in and your mind plays tricks on you. So it leads you down this bad, bad path. I really want to start out with just giving you an example of something that used to be for me when I worked in an office setting day in and day out. So I'm going to give you an example of what self-sabotage would look like. So basically you're eating great all day, right? Your nutrition is on point. You're getting what you need, your macros. If you are tracking your macros, your carbs, proteins, fats, you're on point, right? You got your workout in. You go back to work after lunch, and your coworker brings in cupcakes, and
it's every office,
right? And it could be any dessert, right? It could be, or even candy. And it's those dreaded words from your coworker: just have one. It won't kill you. So then you start to like rationalize it in your head, telling yourself, well, you know, I did get my workout in, and it's just one, like I deserve it. I deserve this. And before you know it, you've totally eaten that cupcake in less than 5 seconds, which we all have probably done that, even myself. And then after that, like 10, 15 minutes later, you have this like extreme sense of guilt that sets in. You get mad at yourself. And then you see those cupcakes over there on the counter, and you just are so irritated with yourself, and you're like, well, shoot, I already blew it. So I'm just going to have another one. So then you grab that second one, you are continually digging yourself a hole, and then you get to the point, well, I've totally screwed up the whole day, so why not have another one? And then you get home from work and you just totally give up. So then it's ordering pizza for dinner, and it's basically that mindset, like, well, I'll just start again tomorrow. And it's that is what self-sabotage is. It's just this rabbit hole that you kind of go into.
It's so true. And there's so many different illustrations of that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've all been like in that example, we've all been there. And and the key to why we're sharing this and using, I love Jenny, that you being the teacher here, you're sharing your own examples. Like last time when you shared about going to a party and having cake. I mean, honestly, that's what's going to help our audience is when I know what it's like to be the typical consumer and you hear a fitness expert talk and you just get this impression they're perfect. They don't have any struggles. They have it easy. They've always been buff. And here's me, you know, I'm the same age as this person or that person. And look at them, you know, Jennifer Aniston, you read, I remember, you know, 10 or 20 years ago and I would always read you'd see in the magazines like OK and Us magazine at the checkout counter at the grocery store. And it was always about this celebrity and that celebrity and how they were a size zero. There was that phase where they were focusing on all these female celebrities and being a size zero and a two. And I would always go, oh, I'm an 8 or a 10. And I've been a 12 before. And I just mentally beat myself up. And then even back then, a self-sabotage thing could happen where you get so depressed or you go home and you're getting ready for a trip and you put on your bikini and you're trying on clothes before you go and they're skin tight and you automatically get so discouraged about where you are and that vacation and what you're going to look like in your bathing suit. And that's when we don't even realize we're doing it. But it's so, I know that happens to me. I'll go, screw this, you know, and it's almost like you're punishing yourself. I can't understand why my brain works that way, but it's the God's honest truth. And in fact, since you and I, Jenny, we recorded, when did we record the first two? Was that 2 weeks ago or a week?
I think it was about 2 weeks ago.
So in the past 2 weeks, you know, and I've touched base with you, you know, I've had 2 weeks of migraines, going to the doctor, learning about developing an ulcer potentially, getting my gallbladder scan. I mean, I've had major medical drama the past 2-3 weeks, and it's been so frustrating. And then, you know, I go to get back on my game, get back training with Blaine, and I go to put my workout clothes on and I look in the mirror. And this just happened this morning. I'm on like day two of quote unquote being bad. I put my workout clothes on and I look in the mirror and mentally I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm looking for being fatter. I'm looking for, I've been off my game. So how bad do I look? That's my, my mental attitude, even though I know it's wrong, that's what's going on. And I tell you what, I swear to God, Jenny, this happened this morning. I looked in the mirror and I'm like, I can't believe how absolutely gross I'm gross. Look how much wider my hips are. Oh my God. And you know what I immediately wanted to do? I realized that if this was me I shared this on my Instagram story today, mm-hmm. honest to God. If this was me 2 years ago, and I'm sharing this in this much detail with the audience because I want people listening to understand self-sabotage comes in your life and can either ruin you or it can be something that you recognize and you learn how to deal with it. So I'm going to tell you that self-sabotage is still like always knocking at my door, right? Yeah. Yeah. But a year ago, if I was in the position I was today where I've had, I went to my calendar, Jenny, and I realized I've missed 24 workouts, mm-hmm. 24 sessions have been missed because of illness in the past 7 weeks. And that almost slayed me. I literally was like, I can't believe it. What was my first reaction? I might as well just eat whatever I want the rest of the week because I've already done this yeah. much damage. Yeah. And have you ever thought this too, when you're going through that crazy mindset, like say you're that girl at the office and you say, well, one isn't going to hurt you. So then you have that first one and you think, well, and you try to use prevailing fitness knowledge to say, okay, well, I've had one cupcake. It's not really, I'm not going to gain 10 pounds in one night. And so that's how you give yourself permission. Yeah. Have you ever done that too? And is that also self-sabotage or is that something else?
Oh yeah, that definitely is. And it's that negative self-talk too. You know, even with you looking in the mirror, you are talking negative to yourself. And that has such a role in your overall health and wellness. You know, your mental state, how do you look at yourself? But you really think about it, self-sabotage is never worth it. Have you ever felt good after you've talked that way to right? yourself? Would you say that to me if I came to your house and I hadn't worked out, you know, if I missed all these workouts, would you look at me and say, oh man, look at, you know, your hips are wider. You would never say that to someone else. So why would you say that to yourself? But we all struggle with it. And even I see it a lot with my clients when they cannot get a workout in. So they get either, they go two ways. They can either get really down on themselves, like, shoot, I don't want to miss a workout. I've been so on top of it. And then it's that negative self-talk too. At that point, like, well, I'm just going to get fat now, so I'll just eat whatever. But if you look at the long picture, missing one workout is not the same as missing five workouts. So if you think to yourself, okay, I can't get my full hour workout in or whatever I have scheduled that day, but I have 20 minutes today. 20 minutes is better than nothing. So go do what you can, but you have to take care of yourself first. So for you, you're having medical issues. That's okay. You have to take care of yourself before you go stress your body out more by exercising, because you're not going to heal these other things going on when you continue to stress and put all of this extra, you know, especially if you're doing HIIT style workouts, like I know you do, you're putting so much extra stress on your body. So your body is not going to be able to heal those other things while you, yeah. And you have to let go of that self-sabotage of being down on yourself when you do miss workouts. Just do what you can. It's be okay with that. You can't feel like a failure all the time, because then you do start like, well, I'm just going to eat whatever I want now. You know, I'll just start next Monday. Really look at it and think of every day, every meal, every workout as a Monday. Think of everything as a Monday.
That's so true.
It is. And if you think of it that way, it's okay when you make, you know, if you have one cupcake, that's okay. Totally okay. You know, balance. I'm so about like balance and enjoying those things in life. So have one, but then the next meal, think of, okay, it's Monday again. You know, I'm back. Gonna make better choices now.
Cause so. It really is key. I mean, if you think about it, and I actually realize, which is very typical of me, I can start down a path and end up talking for 25 minutes and still not make my point. But, to give the example of how I was frustrated today, mm-hmm. having, you know, it's like 50% of the past 2 months has been me being sick and, yeah. and out of pocket. And then the days that I was sick, you know, the days I had migraines, do you think I was eating my grilled chicken and whatever? I was yeah. either not eating or eating whatever I thought would make my migraine feel better. And I will tell you guys, there was sugar. That's when you have a migraine. I had a lot of people ping me on, because remember I put that post yeah. up and yeah. so many people were like, oh, this is how I deal with migraines. And all I want, I sit really still and all I need are carbs and sugar. And I know it's bad, but that's the only thing that I can tolerate or whatever. So you know, I looked in the mirror and it was really so discouraging for me mm-hmm. to see, like, wow, you know, I've come this whole summer and every time I looked in the mirror, I knew I wasn't at my goal, but before this, I was always looking in the mirror going, wow, look how far you've come. And today I was like, wow, you took two steps back. And so old Kelly, about a year ago, if that was me, my self-sabotage that I would have not been able to overcome because I wasn't as equipped as I am now, honestly, and this is not, I'm not proud to share this, you guys. This is the truth of what I would have done. I would have looked in the mirror. I would have gotten so upset. I would have walked out, probably walked around my apartment and just started swearing at myself and cursing and going, oh my God, you're so disgusting. No man is ever going to want you. You're gross. You're just disgusting. I can't believe you. How did you let yourself get like this? Blah, blah, blah. Literally, that would be my self-talk. And then I would say, you know what? Screw it. I'd probably say it in a swear language that's not appropriate for this podcast. And then I would take my workout clothes off. I would put something that made me feel more comfortable, like big baggy sweatshirt, big baggy sweats. And then I would say, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. I'm just going to watch a movie tonight. I'm going to order what I want because clearly I'm this gross. Clearly nothing's working for me. So, you know, why does it even matter? And I would order a pizza. I would go to Burger King, whatever it was. I'd do something like we talked about in episode 2. Mm-hmm. I would do it in hiding. Yep. Wouldn't tell anybody. And then I'd be ashamed because I'm like, oh my, like you said, you never feel better after you self-sabotage, after you comfort yourself with more food, after you eat your feelings, like Tina Fey says. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been what I would have done in the past. And I would have binged all weekend and been down on myself, cried all weekend, blah, blah, blah. Probably started researching some new workout, some new program. I would have gone to Borders or Barnes & Noble and then started over. And I would have been having an attitude of punishment towards myself. Now today, it still feels as crappy, people that are listening. I'm not going to kid you. Looking in the mirror and not liking what I see still feels as crappy, but I was able to go, okay, you need to give yourself credit to what Jenny, you just said. Yep. I have been sick. I had a migraine. I could barely move. I was out for 3 days here, 3 days here. I was getting my gallbladder scanned. You have to take care of yourself first because the more that, like you said, Jenny, and that's a great example. If you push, push, push while you're going through all of these other things and you elevate your cortisol, then you're going to make everything else worse. So I had to go, you've been through a lot. You've gotten past, I looked at everything I've accomplished so far. I said, I got to trust if I came this far and I've made 7 steps forward and 2 steps back, guess what? I'm going to take those 2 steps forward again. I'm going to do another 7 steps forward. I'm probably going to do another 10 steps forward. I'm going to kick ass. And now that I know better about what started this cycle, I'm even more equipped to be better successful, better in my success going forward. So for everybody listening, that is truthfully, it doesn't mean it's easy. I have the ability now to see that my first reaction in looking in the mirror was, I wanted to not work out today. I wanted to order from Amazon Prime now, Oreos and creamy deluxe frosting and sit and eat them and watch like some Julia Roberts movie and get Diet Mountain Dew. That's what I wanted to do, but I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And every new day is my new Monday and you can get there. But here's the question, Jenny, how do people start getting to where they deal with self-sabotage? Is it first like, I mean, how do you, because it's not overnight.
No, it's hard. It really is hard because a whole nother side of self-sabotage is, are you putting others before you and your goals? So a lot of times, like, and I do this too, am I only eating something because I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings because they brought cookies in and I don't want to hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. And I hear that a lot with my online ladies that I work with, that they're like, well, I'm going to grandma's house today and she makes this and this and this. And I know it's not like I shouldn't be eating it, but I don't want to hurt her feelings. You know, there's time and place for that, but you have to take care of you. Like, don't worry about what other people are going to think. If it's not something that you want to put in your body, like, would you do drugs just because you don't want to hurt so-and-so's feelings, you know? Like, you have to think.
That's a great way to put it.
It is. And so like, that's just a huge, that could be a whole nother topic too, just putting others before yourself. And we as women, we do that. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to have that confrontation or them saying, well, why can't you eat this? So really to answer your question now about how do you get to the point where you can work through that. The first thing is you have to identify it. You have to accept it. You have to know that this is a real thing, that you are not alone, that other women struggle with this. And you have to examine yourself and identify your triggers. What are your biggest triggers that lead you down that path of self-sabotage? Is it that one coworker that continually brings in things that tempt you and just tells you, well, you know, like you need to go eat a hamburger. Things like that. I dealt with a lot of that. When I first started my health and fitness journey, people didn't understand. They did not get it at all because I changed my whole life. I changed what I ate and how I looked at food. And it was hard for other people to be okay with that. And so it was almost like they wanted to sabotage me. Like, well, have this piece of cake, you know, you can gain a few pounds, eat this, eat that. And you have to make that choice of, do you give into that? Do you have that? Or do you have the strength to say no? And like we talked about a couple weeks ago too, I think on the emotional eating topic, is having a support system. So huge in your life in general, and every aspect of your life is having a support system. But the first thing with self-sabotage is identifying your triggers and accepting that this is an issue and that you do go down this. And even as I've been researching this and kind of I'm working on some future programs for women along this line, I was talking to my husband and kind of giving him some examples of self-sabotage. And he's like, that's what you do. And I just laughed. I'm like, it is. It totally is. And he puts it like, well, you know, if we are somewhere where there is dessert, because like I told you before, dessert's my thing. Like I can pass on the wine, I can pass on everything, but it's dessert. And if I'm somewhere where there is dessert, it's so hard for me just to have one because
like at Houston's that night.
Yes, right. Where we got like how many brownies?
And that was me. I was the one like, and that was when I started making, that's you guys, when I mentioned that my whole 7 week of being off or whatever, it started with me going to Scottsdale and yeah. I just got a little cocky and I'm like, oh, well, I can have dessert here. And then I had, you know, donuts after the Saturday workout. And then you don't count it. If you're not counting and you fall off your tracking, then all of a sudden you're like, well, I haven't paid attention to the fact that I've had five different desserts when my body is used to one. Yep. And I was the one when there were the four of us at Houston's and we ordered this dessert and we're like, well, we'll just split it. And that was me. I told all of them, I'm like, let's split it. Well, it came and it was probably, I believe it was directly served from God. And so I'm like, let's get another one. And we just gobbled it up. But that was, okay, that was pretty amazing. I probably shouldn't have brought that up.
No, but it's true. And it's funny because right after that Scottsdale trip, I went to Ireland and did the same thing. Like, it's like, well, I'm on vacation. I can have dessert every day. Well, no, like, it's not okay. Like, it's okay from time to time for me, but I know I have a hard time stopping. When I have that one, then I feel guilty. Then I'm like, well, screw it. I'm going to have this one too, because that was amazing. And I want to try all the desserts. And you just have to get to that point of accepting it and knowing what your struggles are. And for me, it's the dessert and not being able to stop at one. So I'm right there with you as far as, was that what, 7 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm right there with you.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Jenny, because again, you being on the show, you're the expert. You definitely have the expertise because of your education, but also your experience with clients. You know, mm-hmm. I am not yet, but I'm excited to get my personal training certification, especially with everything coming up. I'm like, I've got to get that started. But you know, I'm just the girl. I'm the fitness girl who has to, you know, look to others as my guidance and to hear. Excuse me, that somebody as credentialed as you and as experienced as you is able to identify her struggles. And I think that's key, what you said. You have to find out what each one of us, what you're, like we always say, find your fitness. It's just as much find your demons, right? Yeah. Or that's the way I'm going to say it. So Jenny, you know that these are your triggers. For me, I am not one of those people that can have sweets or even really kind of a lot of packaged carbs in my house. And the other thing you have to recognize is we each have to find out what I think this is a three-part answer, and I want to see if you agree. We have to find out what our triggers are, be comfortable sharing them, because I think if you go at it alone and you're like, well, it's just me, a lot of people think that they're the only ones that have the, oh, I eat when I'm upset, or I eat when I'm angry, or I eat in hiding. Start getting comfortable telling other people. And number three, understand that other people are going to not have the same issues that you, and that's okay. I know I sound very Oprah right now. That's okay. Yep. But the truth is, it really is. Like for me, I used to let it get me down. And then again, that would put me into a bad cycle. If I said, oh, I just can't have a bowl of M&Ms at the house, I would eat it into I'd eat myself into oblivion. There's inevitably going to be somebody, am I right, at the office, in your family, if it's holiday season, who's going to go, I don't have that problem. And then you go, what's wrong with me?
Well, yeah. And then you start thinking that it's all you and that you're the only one in this world that has this issue. And then that leads into the negative self-talk again. And you're right back at square one. So I 100% agree with you that it is those three things for sure.
In a way, would you say, like, I haven't written a thesis on this, but as we're talking about it, I feel like what's helped me get through my issues is kind of just what I said before, sharing them. You know, I mean, I'm a big advocate of not going at it alone, being comfortable talking about your weaknesses and almost like wear it as a, I don't want to say a badge of honor, but just say, look, this is who I am. I have brown hair. I have blue eyes. I have emotional eating issues. The more that you don't make it like it's this big, embarrassing, scarlet letter, guess what? I guarantee you, yes, you're going to run into the people that will act. I know a certain person in my family is always like, I don't have that problem. Yeah. And let me tell you, they're the exact kind of person that if you saw them, you would go, clearly you've got some kind of problems because you need to move more and eat less. Okay, that was douchey of me to say, but I'm just saying sometimes this person gets on my last nerves and they're very judgmental and it drives me crazy. But see, I'm letting go of it. You have to understand each one of us, whether we're on a fitness journey or not, we each have issues. Everyone, we've all got compulsions and it's really a matter of if you choose to deal with it or not.
Yeah.
And so clearly with you, I mean, you help clients on this, but you have to help yourself, right?
Oh yeah. It's a daily thing. And one of the things that I found that works the best for me is I continually tell myself that it's okay to stop it at one. It's totally okay to stop at one. I'm going to be proud of myself for stopping at one, or I am, no matter what, going to get my workout in today, no matter how much I don't want to, because even as a personal trainer and owning a gym, there literally is probably like 75% of the time I do not want to go work out. Like that's the last thing I want to do. I have so many other things to do for my job, my business, my kids, life in general, but you have to be a grown up and you have to make it a priority and take care of you. And one of, I don't know where I heard this. I heard this a while back, but something that I continually tell my clients as well as myself is think about the immediate outcome. So stop looking forward to your long-term goals. Stop looking forward to like, oh, I want to lose 5 pounds like by next month or whatever. Look at your immediate outcome. Tell yourself, if I work out today, I will feel better today. It has nothing to do with tomorrow. It's going to make me feel better today. So I am going to choose to work out today so that I can feel better today. And the same thing with food. If I only have one cupcake, I'm going to be so stinking proud of myself today that I had the willpower to stop at one. And if you continually feed that positive reinforcement into your soul and your mind, your life can change because you do know you have a problem. I have a problem, you know, I've had this issue for years, and it's taking one day at a time and being proud of myself in those moments for making that good choice. And it's funny because 2 weeks ago we were talking about emotional eating, and literally the night before I had 4 pieces of cake, right? Because it was that fear of missing out. I really wanted that cake, but last weekend, so what, like 4 days ago, I was at an event with my husband, a fundraiser, and it's a cake auction. And you know that I like my cake. And so, so I was nominated at the, we had this big table to go pick out what cake we wanted. So I grabbed one and I only had one small piece, and I got home and I was like high-fiving my husband, like, yes, I stopped at one tonight when I could have eaten. Literally, we had over half of a cake left. I didn't take any home. I stopped at one small piece, and you feel proud that day. So look at your immediate outcomes.
So true. And also, you know, when you're talking about every day, like right now I'm sharing on my Instagram stories, I'm like, you know what, I'm day three back. And when I went back to train with Blaine, so I, like Monday of this week, I was really feeling down. I didn't like my workout clothes and I wanted to cancel with Blaine, but I took myself in there and I said, you and I are having a talk. Yeah. And I just said, I need to talk this through with you. I remember saying to him, I'm like, I recognize that I am being completely irrational, but please just hear me out. And I it's almost like I needed to confess. Yeah. I needed my fitness therapist, right?
Yep.
Blaine is so awesome because he listens to me. He's not patronizing. And then he's like, okay, well, what's our plan? And then he'll also give me some backup. Like, here's what you have to understand. I think he said, knowing me being, he was on vacation and then I was gone. And he said, before I looked it up, he's like, I think you've missed about a month. And I'm like, no, I haven't. Well, that's why you track people, because when you do track, you can, and if you're tracking along the way, you can catch yourself before you have a bit too much of a slippery slope. But, you know, for me, I was allowing, you know, the sickness and the travel and all of those things, wasn't tracking. And so it wasn't until I took my calendar out and I looked and I'm like, I actually counted it. I counted how many sessions I had missed. And in a weird way, it was comforting because I thought, okay, here I am looking at myself going, I can see that I've put some pounds back on. Why have I put those pounds back on? Well, when you see and you reverse engineer, you see that there's a reason, then you go, okay, I have to take responsibility for what I did. Now, what's my plan? You can either decide to be in emotion about it or be in planning. And when you said earlier, I want to share this for our audience because I know that you agree, Jenny, because we've talked about this. But when you make those decisions like, okay, I can have one cupcake or I can have one piece of pie and I'm going to feel okay. The thing is, I think we should also, for me, get real with you can get comfortable talking yourself through and going, like, I'm very comfortable with the times when I want to pig out going, okay, you just mentally want the rest of that cake. You don't really want it and you're going to have a headache. And so I go through rational internal dialogue with myself. But here's the reality, people. And tell me if you're the same way, Jenny. And don't lie. I mean, if you're not, it could be just my issue and I'm fine with that. Even when I do that, in the moment, people, my brain still wants the rest of the pie.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll feel better the next day, but you have to understand and like get to the point where you can talk yourself out of it and you don't do the action. But trust me, it's kind of like whatever temptation it is, you're still going to have to go like, I want to go back there. I want those brownies. I don't want to tell anybody. But so it's going to still be challenging when you're in the moment. But you will get past the moment, and then the next day you'll be stronger, and the next day you'll be stronger. Do you agree? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And the more you practice just with everything in life, the more you practice, the better you get. You know, you look at these professional athletes, they practice day in and day out. So if you've spin that to, I'm going to practice saying no, day in and day out, it'll get easier. But you also have to look at what are your biggest temptations around the house. You know, maybe you don't have it around, or one way to get around it is you find a specific program or plan that works for you. So maybe you try like a pyramid type program to where you eat 100% healthy for 2 days, and then you allow one day of like normalcy in your mind, you know, like, okay, I'll have a treat. Or I wouldn't say to let it go the full day, but you eat healthy 100% of the time for 2 days, then you allow a treat on the third day, and then you do 3 days, and then you allow a treat. So there's ways and there's programs that you can start doing that will slowly make it easier. So instead of having a treat every single day, you go to every 3 days, every 4 days. So it does get easier, but you do have to practice because it's hard. And you know, even professionals in this industry, everyone struggles with it. So yeah, I do agree with you.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. One of the things that you said earlier, you know, you were talking about how all of your clients get upset about workouts. And I definitely in the past, I've got to watch our time because I realize, see, you and I could just talk all day, I've definitely had, and I've never thought about self-sabotage really in the workout sense. For me, I always feel like when I think of self-sabotage and emotional issues, it's more about and maybe that's just different strokes, different folks, that it's more about eating and screwing up eating or whatever. But I've definitely had in the past an all or nothing mindset with training. Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought it up because it sounds like you have a lot of women that come in and they think it has to be like, if that's how they started training and every session was an hour, they think anything less than an hour, or if they've got a heart rate monitor on and they're used to a 500 calorie burn and then they go for a power walk and they do 250 calories, they think that that doesn't count. And so that can lead to impulsive eating or throwing in the towel. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, totally. And I see that all the time, every single week. I see that with clients. So you really have to, you kind of have to make a list of things that you can commit to 100%. So if you can commit to, I'm going to get 30 minutes three times a week of workouts in, can you commit to that 100%? So even though that may seem so small to you and me, as far as like getting your workouts in, but if you commit to 3 days a week and then you surpass that, then you're proud of yourself. Like, hey, I totally crushed it this week. So be realistic with your goals, with what you can commit to 100%. Can you commit to limiting to only one treat a week, like Saturday donuts, right? But it's when you make things harder for yourself, like someone tells you not to do something, you want to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you make things harder for yourself, you are going to be more likely to fail. So really look at your goals and what you can fully 100% commit to. And it makes it so much easier.
And I think in it might be a good point to wrap up on, is that, and this could even be a whole, I mean, so many of the things we start talking about on this series could be, and I know we'll start to get questions about this. Of course, by the way, just on that note, you guys that are listening, if you have questions you want us to cover in this series, email us podcast@fitfluential.com. We'll make sure Jenny and I cover it. But I think one of the good things to wrap up with on this show, when we're talking about self-sabotage, is one of the big things that you'll start to train yourself. And I will say I'm proud of myself, and I think that's why I'm more successful, particularly this year. I've made more progress this year and this summer, really since, you know, I think end of April is when I reconnected with, or excuse me, started working with Dr. Sebring, and that's when I got everything working with my hormones, and I've just made more progress. And I really think a big part of it for me, stress reduction, the reason my stress reduction, a big part of that was I have learned to bounce back faster. Yeah. I have learned to be more forgiving with myself. Yeah. I have learned to catch these things. So these things don't go away. The self-sabotage impulses won't go away. Mm-hmm. The emotional eating impulses won't go away. The temptation won't go away. You're going to have times that you fall down. You're going to have medical issues like me, and you're going to get off track for, you know, planned or unplanned. But the more that you can be easier on yourself, and instead of overreacting, throwing in the towel, saying, screw this, going, okay, I'm not really happy with where things are, but here's what my rational mind knows. Share with your friends, share it on social media, reach out to people that can, you know, go, it's okay, here's what you need to do, let's just move forward. The key is bouncing back. The key is not giving up. The key mm-hmm. is consistency. And I think that's really what you started the show with, which is, it doesn't matter if you can't do 90 minutes or an hour, do 20, because that is continuing to move forward. Whereas if you say, well, screw it, I can't work out today, which I've done in years past, then you're probably going to eat bad that day. Then you're probably going to go home that night and Netflix binge and maybe have cupcakes. And then you wake up the next day, you feel like crap. Where if you did that 20-minute workout instead of an hour, you will that will affect your behavior the rest of the day. The fact that you didn't fall off the wagon, it's just all of these things will start working in your favor. And to me, that's what starts changing your future, is when you have the ability to bounce back. Would you agree?
Yeah. And that's where the support system will come into play. I have clients sometimes that'll be like, well, you know, I just haven't been following the plan. I think I'm just going to take a couple months off. And I call them out on that. Like, no, this is when you need the support the most. Like, you're not going to take a couple months off. Let's do it. Let's rewrite your plan. You know, what can you commit to? So having the support system is huge in bouncing back. So yep, you nailed it.
Because I think women, whether we want to call it that or not, it's shame. I know mm-hmm. I do. I know, I mean, even though I'm sharing this and maybe people are listening going, it's so easy for Kelly to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I've had people say that to me. It's not easy, you guys. But in some weird way, it's comforting to me to keep it really real and transparent and tell people, like, old me, I would have been so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And I would think that everyone was staring at me and laughing at me and going, I knew Kelly Alexa couldn't make it. And I knew that she would screw up. And I would think the whole world was looking at me and talking about me. The whole world is not looking at me and yep. talking about me.
Yep.
But when you share and you keep it real, that's when you, again, your friends will lift you up. It's realizing you have nothing to be ashamed of. I don't want to say you should be ashamed of quitting, but the only thing that's going to make you worse is quitting. And then that'll make you feel a lot worse. So yes, I agree. Keep up your accountability, whether you're in a program or not, keep sharing your struggles, because that's going to help you bounce back. If you say, well, I've done poorly. I'm going to, you know, like your client said, I'm going to take several months off. I think your client was saying she was embarrassed and she was ashamed and she didn't want people to be witnessing that. I think that's very common. Would you agree?
Yeah, it totally is common. And that's where you just have to, you have to let go of that fear of failure and what people are thinking of you, because everyone has their own demons. This kind of like ties it all together. Everyone has, whether it's the self-sabotage with food, it's with workouts, whatever it is, everyone has their own issues that they deal with. And if they look at you and judge you, that speaks volumes about them, not about you. So don't worry about what other people are thinking. You just reach out for your support and your friends, your family, your trainer, whoever it is, just to have someone by your side.
Yep. I mean, believe me, I didn't even realize it when I was, but that's exactly what I was doing with Blaine is, and I told him, I said, I felt so down about myself. And I was punishing myself because I missed workouts because of a migraine. And because I had to go to the hospital and get a gallbladder scan. And I mean, I could go on and like, I was punishing myself for that. And hello, when you have 2 months and you essentially miss a month of training and you have bad eating and you're 48 years old with unbalanced hormones, yeah, you're probably going to gain some pounds back, Kelly. That's kind of normal. But you know what? I told Blaine, I said, do you know what my first reaction was? I swear to God, Jenny, this was going on in my brain. I was going to call him and say, I'm going to take 2 weeks off and work out at home because I didn't want him to see me. I thought I'm viewing myself as if I've gained all my weight back. I'm viewing myself as if I am the Pillsbury Doughboy. I just view myself as so extreme, and it's ridiculous. And so I'm sharing that with you all listening in closing, because again, the fact that I shared exactly what I was feeling and I knew how messed up that thinking was, guess what? I'm back on track. Blaine and I trained on Tuesday. Today, Jenny and I are recording this on a Wednesday. I have done my HIIT workout today. I've eaten on point. I am back on track. I'm sleeping. I mean, it's day two. And guess what? By the time this show goes live, I will be on day 10, something like that. Yeah. I'm just going to keep going because I've bounced back. Yeah. And trust me, for all of you that are listening, keep tuning into this series. Jenny and I on our next one, hold on, I'm looking at our notes. Our next one is going to be on mindset and mindfulness. Again, we've got, some of you have already started to write into us at podcast@fitfulangel.com. Keep the questions coming. We're going to keep this series going. And I think we should potentially, Jenny, let's talk about doing some like Facebook Lives in our private groups and having people be able to interact with us live. That would be awesome too.
Yeah, let's do it for sure.
Cool. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. I went totally 7 minutes over, but I'm sure that I know that this is going to be a really hot topic and we will cover it again for certain. But until next time, thanks everybody for tuning in. We will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.